This episode is brought to you by Bellatoris Publishing, bringing stories to the world that last forever.
Today on Faithfully Fantasy.
And I found it really interesting that she is like mentioned this and left my two daggers next to Sola's body. So I was like, okay, for me, that's like a little bit suspicious. We know that every single dagger has a rune. We don't know what contains those runes.
Oh God, is one a resurrection rune?
I wonder like how many people actually have seen the stone.
Dane.
That's something that I found weird. Well, it's the colonel as well.
I think Dane was supposed to be Jack, and Colonel Atos was training Dane to be the Jack, the one that brought the wards down.
Hello and welcome to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Iron Flame.
I'm JC.
And I'm Sean.
And today we're diving into chapters 56 to 58 of Iron Flame. This episode is intense, it's emotional, and most importantly, packed with a lot of new theories and a lot of comments.
Yeah, it might be a long one. Needless to say, there will be spoilers from all of Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, and possibly some of the bonus content from Onyx Storm pre-release. We're getting so close.
Yes, and before we jump in, a quick note, this episode contains mature content and some explicit language, so please listen with care. And now, brace yourselves, because we only have three chapters here, but God,
we have so much to say.
Yeah, they're absolutely packed with revelations and gems. So let's get started.
Yeah, so over 100 Wyvern are on their way. It's finally time to raise the wards, and it's immediately time to put them to the test. Violet's shields are down as she flies to the edge of the wards, but Zayden is ready to tell her everything. We finally learn the meaning behind all of the scalp prickling. We find out the wards work, but they're shaky. We meet Mummy and Melgrin for a chat, get our hands on Lyra's journal, refuse to help Melgrin on Solstice before we realize Samara is not the real destination.
Like I said, so much to talk about this.
Yeah, so let's dive straight into chapter 56. Start with the epigraph.
Yes.
It was never our continent. From the very beginning, it was theirs, and we were simply allowed to live here. The Journal of Warwick of Luceris. Translated by Cadet Violet Zorengel.
So, she will trust Violet about this, considering the first relation that she did?
Yeah, the first one.
Anyway, just the epigraph is just so much to say, because obviously, they're talking here that it's about dragons. The land belongs to the dragons.
Do you think it's humans. Dragons?
I'm thinking there's something else. I think dragons is like what they want you to believe. The dragons were there from the beginning, and humans, they were just allowed to live there.
So who could it be? Should we step through the options? So obviously dragons, most likely dragons, I think. But yeah, there are some other options. The series is called The Empyreans. So that's why I think it's possibly most likely. The Seventh Den, specifically?
Could be. They were like living there, and then for some reason they got kicked out.
Warwick. Although they don't listen to humans. Griffins? I don't think so.
No. That's a bit something more sinister, I would say.
Venom?
That's the first thought that comes to my mind. Venom.
The gods?
I still not believe in there's going to be like, we're going to have an interaction with the gods.
I can't believe you don't think we're going to meet Malak.
Nah.
There's so much foreshadowing about meeting Malak. I know that he's the god of death, and they're just saying that because they're probably gonna die, but no, we're totally gonna meet Malak.
I mean, if we met Malak, it's gonna be more like a kind of like an hallucination or something like this. Maybe that's like, for me, like the maximum that I believe they could happen if something like that happened. But for me, I don't know, it's like if you mix like Harry Potter with aliens, it's like just two completely like different things, but in one that it's just like
I don't think so. Cause quite a lot of the other fantasy or romantasy books I've read, the gods are real.
They're it's like stories when the gods are like really important role, but in this one from book one until there was nothing. It's just like the gods that were dead or
there's
something.
So much. We're gonna meet the gods. The other one I put was the Devarelli, just because were they originally on the continent and they moved to the Isle Kingdoms? I don't think so, because it does say that they came to their aid. So it's just throwing random spitball in here.
My first thought, like I say, is venom. But if the word venom, what does it mean? Then maybe the venom were the first one to be interacting with the magic in the ground, and maybe the dragon they start to overtake it. Like they will start to be the new sources for the magic. And then the dragons, little by little, were like pushing the venom away or something like this.
So I get the line of thinking, and it's really exciting and it's really different. But if the venom were the ones that lived there to begin with, like eventually, surely they would just run out of magic, because they drain the ground. They would just drain the ground and drain the ground and drain the ground, and they'd run out of magic. Mm-hmm. And also, this line of thinking makes me think that it's being set up that the venom aren't actually the bad guys. I mean, they've got red eyes, they've got veins around that, everything, and like really pale skin, thinning hair, dark purple robes. They're the bad guys, surely.
Could be that at the beginning, they were just like wizards or like people with magic. They didn't need any dragons. And then the dragons came, they started to take in their magic.
The dragons controlled the magic.
Yes, and then they start to find ways to get maybe more power, but the power starts to corrupt it.
That's interesting.
Like the first venom came.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that.
So I wouldn't say like proper venom, like the venom that we know now, but something in between.
Magic people.
Yeah,
it was quite cool. The one thing I wanted to call out here was the ancient king who lived 1,000 years before Navarre existed. So we do know there was something going on 1,600 years ago, because Jacinia was trying to translate that passage and she needed help from Violet to do that. We didn't learn anything more about him.
But
still, there's something about him, isn't there?
It can be just like a random poor there. I mean, it could be. It's called red herring, but we don't know.
Also, the first word of the first paragraph is dragons. So it makes me think it probably is about dragons.
No, but I do that's like exactly it's like they made it with this intention that you had to think there's dragons.
Yeah.
But it could be like second thoughts.
Yeah, I do like the idea that there were people before who had access to, like everyone had access to magic.
Yeah.
And it was the dragons that
they had to be like the bridge. When before there were no bridge.
What about Griffin?
Could be same but less, isn't it? Because they don't have that much power as dragons. Okay, so yeah, we start the chapter with dragons. Brennan said, well, they're going to the Warstone. As you remember in the previous chapter, the Venin are going to Aresia, so they need to raise the walls as soon as possible. So they're going together to prepare for carrying the weapons and everything, because they need to like try to activate the wards and then straight away go to fight the venom. Violet is carrying the daggers, and she mentions that she's carrying all of them, but the two that she left in the cave with Sola's body. And I found it really interesting that she is like mentioned this, I left my two daggers next to Sola's body. So I was like, okay, for me, that's like a little bit suspicious. And then I started thinking, we know that every single dagger has a rune. We don't know what contains those runes.
Oh, God, is one a resurrection rune?
Not a resurrection, but maybe like a healer against venom. Because Violet, she was poisoned by a venom. And Darna was the one who stung Solas. And that was like, well, officially killed him. But if maybe one of the daggers had like something against magic venom or something like
this. If they did, wouldn't, I'm sorry, I'm being really cynical today. Wouldn't Zayden like have shared that? If he knew that rune existed, wouldn't it have been like oh guys, I know how to.
No, not from the beginning. That's why I'm saying that it happens is after reason. Precisely because, you know, the Satan is like, he's trying to prevent. And then when he sees that this happened, then, okay, I need to make sure that it won't happen again.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. He would like...
We know how many she had, but we don't know what the functions... I haven't said yet.
I'd said the same thing. I would have been like, a homing rune would be handy, a boomerang rune would be handy, and then she'd get her daggers back. I wasn't thinking deep enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, some... Oh, God, that's made me really worry.
Yeah, that's
the... Solace is coming back.
That was like my first thought. It's like, it's being built to like, okay, we have like something that's magic. And those daggers
next to the body.
There was, like I said, seen by Andarnas.
Zayden would know which ones were missing, wouldn't he? And if it was like really bad, he'd go and rescue it. Oh, you've made me really worry now. I didn't even think of that. Zayden replaces them later.
Yes, so, but I don't know if he has to go dagger by dagger and start to see like the runner, like, okay, this is for this, this is for that.
Mm.
And then maybe have like a different color so it's easy to spot.
Yeah.
But the fact that Violet says, leave my two daggers next to Sola's body, for me, is just like suspicious.
Yeah, that is really suspicious.
So Brenna noted that she still heard from the fight with Sola's, so he offers to amend it. But she refused. So there's no time for that. Yes. He tells her that he's proud of her, not only for she translated the journal once, she did it again when most people would have quit. She said that that taught me well, and Markham picked up where he left off. She said that I'm definitely Markham's biggest failure. And then Brennan says, but that's biggest success he offers. And I was thinking as well in this one, the way that he say it for me sounds kind of like a project, like when you do like a job or something that you did really good, like something like really
end
detailed.
Of year review.
Yeah, like because it says it doesn't sound for me like kind of like a natural thing to say because that's biggest proud or you know like more
that's
feelings.
Biggest success.
Yeah, but then that made me think. When Lily was pregnant, Brennan, he would be maybe, well, like maybe 9, 10 years old.
I don't know, I haven't figured that out.
He's kind of like 9, 10 years older than Violet.
Is he?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, because I think by the time that this happened, he's 29, 30, I think.
Okay. I'd take your word for it. I don't know.
Yeah, but I was thinking he will be older enough to find out, figure out, or what's going on, if maybe mommy is poorly and dad is trying to do something, something's wrong with the baby, there's no like mirror or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was thinking maybe Brennan knows something about Violet, something about that his dad did. And that's like one of the like little gems that he just drops there.
Yeah. Interesting. So you've got loads today. You've woken up by chapter 56.
I told you I had loads to say about this chapter. Okay. And like the action part haven't even started yet.
No.
So they arrive into the chamber and the six dragons are there.
Should we go through who the six dragons are?
Yeah, sure.
Tern represents the black den. Sigale represents the blue den.
Yeah.
We think it's Suri's brown, but Kath is also there, so it could be Suri's brown.
Yeah, but they mention more like Suri, but I don't know if it's because she's part of the six
the assembly
dragons
are there,
or the assembly.
But also, yeah. Ulysses has a green dragon, but Rhiannon's there. So they're using Fierge.
Yeah.
So Fierge is the green dragon rep. And Marb is the orange. And we assume, it doesn't say so, but we assume that Felix is the red because we know he's there. All the assembly are there. So we assume that Felix is the red. I just wanted to say something about Fierge. So Fierge means anger, which is interesting. But the thing that is weird to me about this is that clearly Ulysses is there. He has a green dragon. Fierge must be more powerful or older than Ulysses's dragon. Fan, interestingly, means weakness, frailty. It's weird. So yeah. Fierge's anger. But yeah, Rhiannon's there because Fierge is the elected representative of the Green Dragon Den.
I wonder how it works, because for me it was like, I was thinking they will be kind of maybe like the elders, because normally between dragons they respect a lot like the elders, so it's like politic power, and normally the elders are the more like respected between the dragons. But I don't know if it has to be with strength as well, age. Or...
I think it doesn't actually matter.
As long as
it's a representative, it doesn't matter. Because they specifically say that the power doesn't actually mean power. So they say about the translation, the symbol means power, but in a political sense. So it's just one representative of each den rather than the most powerful, because they thought it was the most powerful rider before.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the book, she finds out a secret that once a dragon fires the wardstone, their fire can't be used on any of the others. I suspect that this might be the lie. You know, the lie, the big lie that Warwick lied about, because he didn't want, it was Daddy Sorengel's research that showed that he wanted to keep the secret to himself of the wards and perpetually have the upper hand. The six and the one combined is not a lie. And that's what the book makes it out to be, the lie. Six plus one equals seven, right? The six and the one, it makes sense to keep them separately, because it's the six who had a rider, and the one potentially could have also had a rider, just like Violet has two. But also, I don't think it means the six and the one combined to make seven. I think it means the six and the one combined, because Andana is essentially all the colors, isn't she? I think it says she's naturally purple at one point towards the end of the book. But I think she is the one combined together, not the six and the one combined. That is not a lie. So there must be something else in this book that is a lie. And the only real thing, the other thing that we know, is that once a dragon fires a warstone, their wardstone, their fire can't be used on any other. And I think that was Warwick's way of getting rid of the seventh den. So I think Warwick is responsible for the banishing of the seventh den. And I think he didn't want that one, he didn't want anyone to know that that one seventh den dragon that raised the wards at Basgaiath could also raise the wards in Aracia.
Yeah, for me it doesn't make sense, because how do you make the wards? You get this massive stone, you imbue it with magic, and then you activate it with the fire. Yes. These ones are not connected with the wards from Basgaiath or other one. It's just like something completely independent. Yeah. Why you won't be able to use the same dragons to do another one.
Yeah, and it also just, later on, Tern says, according to you, I can't raise another set of wards. When they're in Basgaiath, it's in another set of chapters that we'll get to later in another episode. But she says, come to the wardstone. And he says, well, according to you, I can't actually fire that wardstone. And the fact it says, according to you, and it's another nod to the fact that the same dragon can't do two, it's too suspicious for me. I'm pretty sure that's the lie. But there is confirmation that there are no more wardstones. He says there's two, although I don't know if we can trust that either. That might be another lie. So he says there's no more wardstones. They created two. At this point, like at this point, we can't trust him. But where else could they be? Could there also be wardstones in Por Amil?
Hiding somewhere.
Breivik, or could there be wardstones in the Barrens? Could there be anywhere?
Maybe there's two in the continent, but what about the island?
Yeah, I don't know. I suspect they might not need them at the moment. Maybe Venin don't like water, like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Don't know what they don't like, be flies near that.
No.
Get icky.
Oh, yeah, good point. The thing that we do know is there's a wardstone at the original hatching ground of the Green Dragons. We know there's a wardstone at the original hatching ground of the Black Dragons. Is there a wardstone at every hatching ground? That's where I would naturally think there was. And it depends where the hatching ground of the second, seventh den was. We think it could have been the Barrens, don't we?
Yeah.
But there's also a big theory that it's on the Isle Kingdom. And that is, we think that it's going to be a big part of Onyx Storm, because the blurb on the back of the French book says Violet will go in search of the seventh den, which makes me think it probably could be the Isle Kingdoms, but she could also go into the Barrens.
Yeah. Know. They go into the chamber, turn Sagelar together. So Violet has to turn the house and Darna and tell say that she's been questioned by the elders and her actions because they were found justifiable. But slay another dragon is a heavy mark upon the soul. So we're like, is it just dragons? Well, because what about griffons? In the end, they're like kind of like creatures that hold magic as well. So it's maybe every creature that holds magic, or
yeah,
just dragon for some reason.
I think it's the fact that it's a dragon slaying a dragon. Because he says to slay another dragon. It's got to be a dragon slaying a dragon, otherwise it wouldn't be another dragon. But I think this will have a lasting effect. I think this will come back. Well, she was questioned by the elders, was she really? Because she's the head of the den.
I wonder, what is this heavy mark upon the soul? It can be something that dragons can sense, or they can see, or
smell.
Something. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe
now Andana stinks of slayer.
Or maybe not. Maybe that is like, okay, you apparently you kill a dragon, but we can't see anything. So yeah, you're fine.
Because Solas got
healing with Satan's daggers.
Oh my goodness. I didn't think about this, and now I'm really, really worried. Ten didn't want to slay him the first time. I wonder, was he afraid of the elders, the reprimand, or was he afraid of the mark it would leave on his soul?
Well, according to Violet, it was more about the mark. Because she said, that's why you didn't kill Solas. But he regretted. He said that he will never have that chance again.
Yeah, she knows.
Because now
suffers.
It's Andarna suffering.
Nah, he'll kill him the second time around, won't he?
Yeah, maybe there's like redemption time for Tern.
So, can I just talk a bit about something suspicious about Brennan that jumped out at me in this scene? Right. So, she gave him the book back. And she said, you need to protect this book because it needs, like,
being protected.
To be protected. He said, anytime you want it, it's yours. It feels a weird thing for him to say. Like, well, yeah, obviously, I just translated it. And we know how weird Brennan is about books. He's hoarding these other books, isn't he, that Takaris gave.
About the venom.
Yeah. But he's like, anytime you want this one, you can have it. It's weird. Librarian Brennan.
Well, I guess it's more because she read the whole thing already.
Yeah, so. But why did he say it then? I'd just be like, all right, let me know if you need it again. Anytime you want it, it's yours. Like, there's no restrictions on this one. You can have this one anytime you like.
I feel more like they were like so hype, or they're also like maybe so excited about they're going to have wars.
So he's saying weird things.
If this works, it's because of her. So it's like the last thing that he can say, maybe.
But, yeah. You know what, though? Like, I'm going to eat all the words I've ever said about Brennan. Because I do think he was a venom, but I think he's either in control or they found a cure. Naylin found a cure. And I do think Brennan is good now. My bet is that he's good. Or he's a really good actor, because most of the time he does really legit good Big Brother stuff. But I do think it's weird that he's hoarding these books.
Yeah, the one there talking about venom, for me, he's in control, but I don't think that he's been cured. That's why I was thinking the rune that he has in the hand could be that mask, because he's actually hiding who.
Yeah, I think it's his control. I think it's his nicotine patch. Anyway, we've been through that loads of times.
So they're proud of Andarna. Then the dragons, they do the stuff. So they breathe the fire and the wardstone, and they feel that infinitely more tame than the one from Nabar.
But there's no fire.
No.
And that is where we see in the end, that's what the problem is. Because the one in Nabar, when they fire that up, or when they see it before Bade, that's got black flames on it.
Yeah. well, like, the first hint, there's something wrong with the walls.
Well, it wouldn't have been a hint because we didn't know what the other one looked like.
Mm.
But when you read the end of the book and you see what it's supposed to look like, then you know it didn't look right. So it's only a hint on the second read through.
Yeah, I wonder like how many people actually have seen the stone.
Dane.
That's something that I found weird. Or why not maybe the general think, attack and Brenna, they were like the favorite to show it in.
I think, and I've just thought of this right now, so it's not very well thought out. I think Dane was supposed to be Jack, and Colonel Atos was training Dane to be the Jack, the one that brought the wards down. So he showed him the chamber, he did all this stuff. Then he realized Dane was a little rule-following little bitch, so he was never going to do it. And then he was like, right, I need a backup plan, and he gets Jack Barlow, a.k.a. General Melgren's illegitimate son. I always take it like what could be a reasonable theory and make it completely ridiculous.
I mean, if I just say absolutely everything, eventually you will be right.
That's my tactic. Change my mind every week. And then I'll eventually, I'm right, like, oh, yeah. I said that. That one. I said that once. Yeah. Yeah, you said a lot of things.
Say absolutely everything. Okay, so they had no time to find out if they're working on.
No, can I just say something else on that?
Well,
is anybody else worried that Kath was around to witness this little scene? We don't trust Kath. Kath was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kath knows how to raise wards incorrectly, but she does know.
I think the plan of the Venom was like destroy the wards, isn't it? So they want to know like how they're being created to. Maybe do it the opposite, I guess.
But well, no, it's not the opposite. I think it just never confirmed, but I think it's a sacrifice. I think it's a dragon sacrifice. The blood of Bade hit the stone, and when the blood hit the stone, the wards went. So I think it doesn't actually say, but I think the way you bring down the wards is you kill a dragon on top of the wards.
Yeah.
Dragon blood. So there we do see some evidence of blood magic. Or maybe it's an act so devastating. Well,
there was some hint at the beginning that even Violet thought it was like blood, and the end was yours
breath.
Yeah. But could be a hint as well from Draka Jaros talking about like blood and the wardstone.
Maybe. They set the wards up and then they go, and now we fly.
Yes.
Do you think that Zayden was having a moan at Sigale for being so slow? I can imagine the conversation that they were having. So Tern is a good 15 minutes ahead of them. Yeah. It's normally a 4-hour flight for an average dragon, but it's just 2 hours for Tern.
Yeah.
This is another like fourth wing maths problem. Yeah. Because that is
first feet and then speed.
Yeah.
I mean, for me as a runner as well, just go under like 1 minute, it takes like a lot of effort. So yeah. Now when we're talking about hours...
I guess it's like a car.
Gosh.
You can have a car that can go 120 miles an hour and a car that's like chugging along at 60.
I guess because he is bigger than he just got, like, he got more land just because the space that he uses.
His neck is 15 minutes away from the tail. I think the conversation in... between Zayden and Sigale is like really tense at this moment, just because Zayden's pissed off. That's and Sigale is also pissed off. She's pissed off with herself, but she's not going to admit it. She's going to be calling them reckless.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the natural wards are a 4-hour flight. This is kind of the crux of the next few chapters, where we know that the ward stone has quite a short distance of wards, and then the alloys at the outpost stretch them out. But it would be alloy in the outposts got taken down, then the wards would just snap back to their original 4-hour distance from the wardstone.
Yeah, they said from the beginning that it works more like umbrellas. So we know the first one is just like a specific radio, and then the outpost is just to extend a little bit more that. So Zayden arrives with Sigale, and now Zayden wants to talk about the signet because they didn't have time to do it the Ryerson house.
No, but he said he's acting like he couldn't at Ryerson house. because there's always someone better at something than you. So this made me think back to the sound seeker. So we know that Garrick can hear through his wards because he does that in Fourth Wing.
Yeah.
Before the squad or before war games. So is he worried about that? We also know that there's hearing runes. So is he worried about hearing somebody that's got potentially got hearing runes? We know that Kat is very good at runes. So we also know that she has recently been in Violet and Zayden's bedroom. And also later he says, we do not fight in my bedroom. So he is worried about something. I don't think so. That's supposed to be just a rule that he's made up. But I think there's something that he doesn't quite trust around that room.
Yeah, I took it the same way. He was kind of like thinking specifically somebody. Don't know if he was thinking maybe about Garrick or maybe somebody they actually
Bodhi, a little gossip.
Maybe he had like runes for
like, not hearing runes because he needs all the tea all the time. Yeah. It also says including wards. There's always somebody better than you at something, including wards, which is really subtle foreshadowing. The fact that they've got the wards wrong.
Yeah.
It's not there by accident, that statement.
I was just thinking right now that imagine because Zayden has like the stone that gives the rebellion relic next to his bed. Are they like all of them exactly the same?
Connected or could be, in some way.
Or maybe somebody somehow managed to change it, swap it, and then instead to have that one, had like
they bugged his room.
Yeah, a current room or something like this.
Well, you'd think if he was that suspicious of it, he would like have searched his room. But maybe, I don't know, maybe someone's saying something to him that like is a bit suspicious.
Yeah. I mean, if something like that, you should be able to feel it, isn't it? Because rune is like made with magic and so on. Or then you actually can feel. But not all the time because Violet didn't know anything about the daggers and they had runes.
Yeah.
Just thinking out loud.
Yeah. Right, so it never occurred to me that you would ask about a second signet, he argues. Liar, I whip my gaze forward, studying the sky for movement and fighting the scalding anger that tests the archive doors of my power. I think this could be a truth-sayer moment. It says it tests the archive doors of my power. So that kind of suggests that there's no power coming through the door. It's like pushing, but it's not coming. But if a little bit came through, and she's like, liar. She knows he's lying.
Violet can feel that, yeah, that he's nervous. And I think she is the one who, how I look through the bond. And she can feel like terror coming from Zayden.
He's scared.
And then he is the one who asks how long it takes for someone to fall out of love. A day? A month? He's asking because he thinks that it will take a heartbeat once you find out. So it's just like giving a little bit like hints about the something that she's not going to like it, and he knows.
Yeah, right. So she goes through the possible signets. This isn't the only time we get a mention of this signet in the next couple of chapters. Manipulating emotions, wielding emotions. We know that Kat can do that, but.
Yeah.
He's like
most of the flyer, they have like more like mind tricks, isn't it? So.
Yeah, but the both times that it gets mentioned make me think back to the time where Felix says, you wielded him to Violet. And I thought that was a bit odd. Anyway, shutting off emotions, that would be a bit of a crap signet. Distance wielder, we know that that's Rebecca Yaris's favourite. Mender, obviously not. See the future, or an element wielder. So those are the two. Those are all the ones that she runs through in her head before she actually gets the right one. On the emotions wielder, she says, "Oh shit! What if he's like Kat?"
That's something that I thought was like really suspicious because she said that, "But if I was like Kat, manipulating my emotions," and then Zayden replies, "I will never do something like that." He retorts, and then she's like, "Shit." And then she rubbed her hands over the face. I didn't mean to say that out loud. And he doesn't respond. I was like, thinking and checking, because I don't know if I like an editing error or something.
Obviously not.
But there's no like she's speaking. You know that when she like narrating what's going on, she was pretty much narrating.
Yeah.
But then the go to Satan, then he said, like, I will never do that.
Yeah. It's not an editing error, but it's also not an intention. It's a thought. Seems like
it's... No, it's not a thought. That's the thing. Normally when it's a thought, you have like something to tell you there's a thought, like it's in italics or something.
No, that's when you're like, when they're speaking then, in the mind. Yeah. But when she's just thinking, it's not. It's just a normal text.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing about this for me is that it's not an intention, it's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not intending, unless it's like, oh, I'm like really split second, she's intending to say, what if it's like cat? But there's no intention there. It's just a thought. It's really odd. But yeah. There's a few times in the books where he's done this. And she said, oh, I didn't think I said that out loud. You didn't. So it's definitely not an editing error. But it's just a
yeah, but weird the intensive signal that he has, he shouldn't be able to this kind of things.
No, he shouldn't be able to read thoughts. He should just be able to read intentions. And what's the intention here? Oh, shit. What if he's like Kat? What if he's been manipulating my emotions the whole time? I would never do something like that. That's not an intention, is it?
Yeah. It's not something that she's going to do or she's planning to do.
No.
It's just thinking.
Yeah.
But for me, well, like, weird.
Yeah, it is odd. It's like good old-fashioned mind reading. That's what it sounds like. I deserve better than this. Tell me the truth. Truthsayer.
Yeah, everything is related to true. Evil.
Yeah. You've always deserved better than me, and nobody knows. Because if they did, I'd be dead. I don't think that's how it says it. Because if they did, I'd be dead. So, we get a little bit of a insight into what he's used it for. It's how he knew he could trust her not to tell anyone about the meeting under the tree last year.
Mm-hmm.
How he seems to know what his opponent has planned on the map before their next move. How he knows exactly what someone... Huh.
Wow.
Is that a clue about Garrick? Because Garrick is the only one that almost has a chance of beating him. Mm-hmm. Why would he almost have a chance of beating him if Seiden couldn't use his intrinsic on him? Wouldn't that more likely be Bodhi? Because he can counter signets. So what's Garrick's signet?
For me, what is just clear about Garrick is that he's not a distance wielder.
No.
Because even in this scene, when Violet's trying to, okay, let's just go on to take out the one.
He doesn't know any. He doesn't know any.
Yeah. He said he's not been a distance wielder for more than 100 years.
Hmm.
He definitely, by this point, he knows all the signets from their friends. If I say that, it's because none of the Marked Ones is a distance wielder. But I think about Bodhi, because still thinking that it's not like something automatically that goes for him. He actually need to do something to counteract the signet, like he did with Carl.
Mm.
So I don't think that just because Satan is using like the intensive powers against him, if he's not doing something, he just can do anything.
Yeah. We'll find out in Onyx Storm. Next surely. Month. Yeah. Right. So is how he seems to know what his opponent has planned on the mat before they do it. How he knows exactly what someone needs to hear in order to get them to do what he needs done. And how he knew if someone remotely suspected them while they were at Basgaiath. It's why he didn't kill Dane in the interrogation chamber. Why he let them come with them, because the second his shields wavered, he knew he'd had a true epiphany. He'd broken free of his mind control. I'm breaking free.
It's interesting because we always talking about Dane is like, he is with the venom. He had like a dark side.
No, Kath is with the venom. Dane is not. Dane is just being mind-controlled.
We start to see that it's more like, if he's bad, it's not because of him. It's because he's been like a puppet, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
And then we don't know if it's Colonel Athos or Kath, the one that manipulating everything.
Or both.
A combination.
Yeah. How would I know that, Violet?
And then she's the one who says, you're an intensive. Mm-hmm. And then he said it's a type. So I was like thinking like how many types in Tantric are, because so far we know like a few, like Jeremiah, that he was like a full intensive. He can actually hear all the thoughts. Then we have Varish, that's kind of like intensive because he can see weakness.
He can read weaknesses. Yeah, I don't think that's intrinsic. I think Dane's closer to an intrinsic and Imogen's closer to an intrinsic than Varish.
Weaknesses, something that is more like when he was saying that I know your weakness, like maybe Sedan, or when he saw the Sedan, not... it was violet, is because it's in going into the mind.
But it's not thoughts, it's not your like real time thoughts or your.
No, but still, it's like you have access to the mind of the person in front of you.
Yeah, but that's not a threat, is it? It's not a threat to Navarre. If you think about what a threat.
The threat is when they don't realize what you're doing and when you can get like all the information just.
Yeah, you could interrogate it out of somebody, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's not the same, though. I don't think it's the same. I think the reason Dane's is so bad is because that he could get memories of Venon, but they're keeping Dane alive for some reason.
Just thinking about this, like Varish, if he wanted to, I don't know, kidnap the king, and then like, okay, I'm gonna do the thing that's like the worst thing for you, so I can get whatever I want, and he will do it because he can see like the weaknesses.
Can you read thoughts or not? His jaw flexes. It's more complicated than that. Think of that breath of a second before the actual thought, the subconscious motivation you might not even be aware of in your mind, or when instinct drives you to move, or you're looking to betray someone. The intention is always there.
And then it's Tarana looking at Sagael as well.
She holds her neck out. It's like, kill me if you dare.
If you want to.
I realize I didn't lie. I didn't tell you the truth.
Yeah, so really he didn't know neither, and now they're fighting. For Violet, it's more about she now, she doesn't know how many times Sedan had been using that against her. It's like maybe she starts to feel that the relationship that they have is not real, it's all fake.
Well, he's literally said he knows exactly what to say to make someone do what he wants them to do.
Sedan is the one who says less than a minute. That's what it took for you to fall out of love with me. And then she was like, don't read my whatever. And he was like, I didn't.
It's obvious on your part. But it's not obvious because she didn't fall out of love with him. She's just a bit confused. So he's better at reading mind intentions than facial expressions, obviously.
I feel a little bit like sad here for Sedan because he's like, he knew that it's going to happen. Then she was like, don't read my mind anymore or whatever. And he was like, I didn't. And then she said, like, the saddest smile talks in Sedan's mouth. So, like, he knows that.
Well,
like,
I think he's been a bit dramatic, to be honest. I feel more sorry for Violet. She doesn't know how many times he's read her. If she thinks back to all that scalp prickling, she might realize, but. It's only a bit embarrassing.
I guess it's just like the feeling that you're being manipulated by other people.
I feel for her, but I also don't really understand why she's so upset. Like, I would love it if you could read people's minds. I'd be like, what are they thinking?
What's this person thinking?
Yeah, what are they thinking? I'd love it. Although I wouldn't want it myself.
Don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, oh, I really want to know. I would use it. That I would be that person that used it to my advantage.
Yes. Anyway, the scene doesn't last long because then Tarna is the one who's to say, Wyverns! And then she's like, how many? Hundreds, according to that girl.
Things are stepping up a little bit.
Yeah. Hundreds of the Wyverns and 17 Venom. And then Violet can see one, and that's the Benny who escaped from Rison.
Yeah, and he gets really angry. He's like shaking his fist when his wife falls down.
Damn it! No, but the interesting part is that he's looking Violet, but straight away he like goes to Sedan. So D this guy is chasing Satan. So we know that. Mm-hmm. But like from here, it's something going on already. So we're guessing the Satan is having nightmares as well. So this guy has been chasing Satan's dreams as well, I think.
It's all a bit confusing, isn't it? Especially as we know that Rebecca Yarros wanted Violet to turn Venom first. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this like seems like, well, they've gone back and changed it. Because the editor wanted.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that this Venom is the one that we were talking in previous episode. There's the one that had like a tan arm. So we're thinking there has to be maybe something related to Satan in the way that he's chasing Satan. Because even by the final chapter, he's looking after Satan.
Yeah, I really didn't think this before, but it's so much so many clues to the fact that it's his granddad, isn't it? And we nearly get a little bit of a snippet, and Violet's like, no, something easier. And I'm like, no, talk about the granddad. We must know more about the granddad. Anyway, we'll get to that bit.
So the wyverns had to cross, and then they're like... It's a part that's like really funny.
Flaps once, flaps twice.
And then turn it like, prepare to die. Ah, never mind. And then boom, to the ground.
Yeah. Felix arrives and they head back. Couldn't really work out what Felix was doing there. So I realised the only reason Felix was there was to stop them from talking more. They needed a third wheel. And Felix was the one that turned up.
Well, he's the one who tell her that, yeah, the sentence going on in the other ones.
Yeah.
Probably has to be like really close to fly down fast.
So they get back and we find out that as soon as the attack was over, a missive was delivered to Ulysses. Mira says that.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the Terrier outpost. Is that related to the Venom attack or is it a coincidence? As soon as the attack finished, a missive came. To say, you need to help us.
They're still alive.
It's all linked, isn't it?
Yeah.
They had intelligence.
I mean, Mami Soran girl is checking what's going on in Arisha.
That's why she's got goggles, marks. Yeah.
She's the one flying.
Yeah, and
people doing it.
There's a confirmation of a reason why the other dragons wouldn't have known about that later as well. I don't know if you caught that. But yeah, we suspect that Lilith has been flying her own missions to work out where her daughters were.
Yeah, so Serena is the one who tell her that, yeah, she can do laser magic, so there's something wrong with your wards.
She's got a lovely British accent as well from Rebecca Solaire. As glad as I am to not be stripped of my power, I'm sorry to say there's something wrong with your wards.
Yes.
Fuck!
The first one to this chapter.
Yeah. Chapter 57.
Okay, epigraph.
Epigraph. The day Augustine Milgren manifested his signet changed warfare for the Kingdom of Navarre forever. Navarre, an unedited history by Colonel Lewis Markham. Should I say Navarre, a severely edited history by Colonel Lewis Markham? Because we don't trust anything he says either. He's like the modern day Warwick. How did this manifest? Imagine, like, Coda. Right, Coda's this absolute menace of a dragon, and he bonded a cadet, and everyone's like, shit, this guy's gonna be really big. He's gonna be a big name on campus, a BNOC, that's what we what we used to call them at uni. Anyway, and then all of a sudden he started being able to see the outcomes of battles with no flaws until the marked ones came along, which was quite some time after, because he's quite old, isn't he? And he's worked his way up the ranks because he was able to predict the outcome of a battle.
Yeah, because obviously you see the battle and then you start to think, okay, for that battle, I'm going to change this. And then you see it happen, I didn't work, I'm going to change this. And then you check. So you do like constantly in your mind until, yes, that's going to work, that's what I'm going to do. So it's just like error proof.
If you think back to all the battles, I didn't do this, but I was planning to go through all the battle briefs and thinking about the attacks on the outposts. And there was attacks on the outposts, and he must have always seen that it was going to be okay. He didn't see the attack on Montserrat, because obviously
Well, the Mark ones are there.
Liam, Zayden, Imogen, although she was half there, wasn't she?
Thursday.
Quinn.
She didn't see what happened recently, that.
No.
They're going close to Adbine for the meeting with Melgrin. Then people from Narration goes to this meeting. Sagal and Tara are not together anymore.
Mom and Dad are fighting.
Yes.
Right, this is a bit. So Tern says, dragons only sense each other mind to mind when we allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So Lilith, this makes me think Lilith and Aemsa have been flying around looking for them. And Aemsa has not allowed the other dragons to sense them, mind to sense him or her, mind to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why I think Lilith has found them.
Yeah, she was personally doing this.
Mm. This chapter where she's like, I spent last night in the library, which was probably in the best interests of everyone, as I continue to muddle through my thoughts, intentions, what the fuck ever. She's still trying to understand what that means, isn't she?
True. They go to the place, they go like an hour earlier, and then Barley is asking to say that, do you your signal against me? And he said, never. But he hands clenched and he says that the muscle his jaws pops. For me, like, is he just like...
What does that mean? For those that are just listening, trying to do that facial expression now, like, jaw pops. What is that?
I don't know. For me, like, it's maybe he's lying or he's, like, trying to stop himself to say something and then he changed his mind and then, like, no.
We're both twitching like absolutely not us on the sofa right now.
Yeah, but he says as well, therefore, he needs no easy to control himself when it's around her. She intentionally said intention through the bond as well.
Yeah, and I get this. I do sympathize with him a bit here. If you could, it would be really hard not to. If you could sense people's intentions and you liked someone... And you didn't know if they liked you. Oh, my God. You just would, wouldn't you? He's got to be forgiven for this.
Yeah,
he's a 21-year-old guy. I know. 23.
Yeah. I'm going to prepare.
Not a lot of growing up goes on between 21 and 20. Maybe it does.
Yeah. Like preparing the dinner. Do you like it or no? And then just checking.
Yeah. What's your intention? To hurl it into the toilet or not?
You're going to the toilet and spit it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Melgrin arrived with some of his people, including Mami Sorangel, and here's when Vi noticed the closer she comes, the more apparent her exhaustion. Deep bruises mark in the space under her eyes, and the goggles indicate that she's spending time in the sky.
Yeah. We think we've said that, haven't we? That she's on her secret missions. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing there, when she said the deep bruises in the eyes, for me, it caught my attention. This reference appears again in chapter 59, but she said that her side is the pure annoyance and the twin bruises lie in half circles beneath the eyes. This is when they go into Basgath.
Mm-hmm.
So those bruises are still there. And for me, it's like... Okay, it's just because she's like really tired because she's doing something. And for me, there was a couple of options. Either she's maybe trying to find out the research from her husband.
Oh, protect it.
Yeah, something about it. Or when she mentioned that she'd been flying, she may be flying to the Isle Kingdom looking for help or looking for something.
Could be.
Some information that is there. Or... this is another one. It's kind of like my favorite as well. Maybe it has to be something with a venom side and she's doing something to try to maybe avoid no channeling from the ground and she's doing something to like prevent it because there's no cure, there's control. And maybe the thing that she has to do, yeah, is something that's lit the marks in the eye.
If she's venom... Because she is very dead at the end. I don't care what you say. She's very dead. There's no pulse. Her body is carried to a separate room. Yeah, she's dead. So that means that Sloane, as a siphon, could somehow return the power that she stole back into the earth or into the stone and cure her of a venom before she died. She's dead.
But remember what Jack Barlow said by the end, Iron Flame, you can't restore what you stole.
Well, then you can't think that she's Venom. Or you can't think that she's dead. But
I don't think that she's not dead. That's what I say.
Read the end again. She's definitely dead.
Just yeah, like Jack Barlow when he fell over the mountain with
yeah, but there wasn't people checking his pulse and there was no pulse. Two people checked the pulse.
Could be clinical death. They make these kind of cases.
All right, well you can play this clip when she comes back, but I don't think she's coming back.
I told you so.
Yeah, and when she's dead and at the end of the fifth book in like 4 or 5 years time when we're through them all, I'm going to play you this clip. She's dead. But we get a couple more, just like in between, we get a couple more signet mentions. So, you know, earlier when I said there was a few things that made me think of Felix telling Violet that she wielded Zayden. Mira says, could you, by the way, you couldn't convince him to stay in Erasure, and they're talking about Brennan. And he says, I don't wield emotions. Again, does anyone wield emotions? Is this another hint to like wielding people? Then Colonel Fremont, who is second on the left in the lineup with Mom and Melgrin, is a very powerful air wielder. He can suck the air straight out of your lungs. That's terrifying. Yeah. But also quite handy for Venom, which I would imagine is why they've brought him along, because they can just, he can lift him up. Also, this is random, but I was thinking about dragon names, Aimsa. When there's a synergy between a dragon and a signet, so you know that the signet is like just to do with the rider. Mm-hmm. Well, there's an awful lot of dragons that have the same name as the signet that their rider's got. And I got thinking, like, why would that be? And I wonder, maybe if it's not happened a lot before because there's not been a big threat. But when there's synergy with the dragon name and the rider, is that when the dragon is going to die with the rider? So we know Aimsa and Lilith. We don't actually know if Aimsa died. Somebody told me the other day that it was confirmed that Liam's ice-wielding signet was an editing error.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really disappointed by that. I don't want to believe it's true, so I'm not going to check if it's true. But his name was Day.
Mm-hmm.
His dragon's name was Day. And that meant ice. And they died together.
I mean, that's like pretty bad if it was an editing error, because it's just like such a...
I know, I also think it would have been fixed by now. It would have been fixed by now. Instead of throwing ice, he would have thrown a dagger. They would have fixed it in like the next edition, surely.
Yeah.
It's much more cool. And also the fact that Sloane knows that dragons who bond their descendants have the descendants of previous riders.
I just need to start watching like all the interviews from Rebecca Jarrett talking about it, because we just hear like, yeah, she said this, she said that, but then I haven't seen it. Actually, the clip she said.
Yeah, I'd be really disappointed if that's true, because I like the fact that there's this mystery around the marked ones, and do they have more than one signet, because the dragons are trying again through their descendant. I just wondered like if we could think of any more examples. Well,
we had Turner and Violet. The Terran is Thunder, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sagael and Zayden. There's Shadow.
Imogen and Glean. Clean. Like wipe clean memories.
Map and Brennan.
Dead body. Cadaver. Yeah. There's loads. So I wonder if it's a sign for the end, that our really depressing ending of the book, where this is actually a story about how we no longer have magic in the modern day, and they all die. Apart from Violet.
Jacinia.
Zayden. Jacinia doesn't have magic, so she doesn't count.
Mm.
Of course, she's not going to die.
No, that's what I mean. She will be the only one who will survive by the end, for
sure. No, Violet and Zayden will, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Ulysses and Melgrin, they have some weird relationship, don't they?
I have something else to say before this. So when the dragons come from Melgrin's side, so we have Amethyst, the brown, then an orange to red, and a blue. Mm-hmm. And blue are like really red. And Yeah, we say like, I think it was in Forwind, there was like another blue, but there was like in the other side of the continent or something like this. Then we know that Arik has another blue. And we will start to think about maybe there was some... like a connection between blue dragons and royal people or people from like really high status.
Maybe.
And that way there is blue. So I was wondering who is going to be this guy with this blue dragon, because it's two red and a blue. So not two blues or three blues.
I didn't realize they were so rare, but maybe.
The meeting starts with Merlin and Ulysses.
Yeah. So there's a weird relationship. The way they speak to each other, they were certainly working together or know each other very well and didn't like each other. He says that he was always so quick to make decisions. He's very critical of Ulysses, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, Merlin says that because he was like so quick for doing this kind of decisions, he never took us a loss.
Mm.
I was like, ouch.
Yeah, but it's also like a bit worrying that he's so quick to make decisions, and perhaps we could see that again in the future. It's like a foreshadowing of... Yeah. And also the fact that Ulysses' dragon in Gaelic means weakness.
Mm. Yeah.
What is it? Faint. Fan. Means faint, weak, helpless, feeble. It's not yeah. great, is it?
But Melgrin take away against Sadan. And then he start to blame for all the mess that Sadan made with those wyverns. Mm-hmm. And then he say like, do you realize all the effort that we had to do to keep everything quiet? All the civilians that we had to...
Blank.
And then, like, I don't want to say anything.
Kill?
What?
All the civilians we had to kill.
Yes.
They couldn't wipe memories without Imogen, or maybe they have someone else to wipe too memories. Many, but yes. Too many, yeah.
Because that's a problem. If you have, like, a whole city and you want to wipe the memories, maybe by the time that you're going to go to, like... recent memories, it's been such a like past a few days, and then you can't wipe it anymore,
and you can't just
turn it into a long-term memory.
Yeah, you can't just put a memory wiper in the water system like they're doing.
No, you had to do Fantastic like one by one.
Spoiler alert. Fantastic Beasts. It's not Harry Potter this time, it's Fantastic Beasts.
Harry Potter at World, isn't it? Yes, but then Mira take against him. I think it's here when we start to see like how vicious Melgrin is, like how ruthless as well.
Because, the evil villain lecture.
Yeah, Miracusa, but like, yeah, he only cared about the people he had on the ward, and for the rest, just fuck them.
Chop like, the hands yes. off.
Yeah, so it's like a little bit like psycho vice for me.
Yeah.
And then Mira calls her asshole, and he says, thank you.
Yeah. Ugh. But we know that Melgrin is bad. That the first time we hear about him, Violet says, I wouldn't be surprised if he ripped a mask off and all of a sudden was a Venon. I don't think he is a Venon, but...
No, I think they're like different groups acting bad themselves. Mm. And Melgrin is just all the stuff.
So Violet makes Zayden use his signet, his intrinsic signet for the first time to read... the intentions of the group of people standing in front of them. Mm-hmm. Everyone but the major on the right is shielded, but she's scared shitless and intends to do whatever she needs to get us to agree. Oh, and she wants to eat after this meeting and argue with your mother over her supposed affection for her daughters.
Mm.
Supposed affection for her daughters. What does this mean? Does this mean she's criticizing Lilith for caring too much about her daughters? Or she doesn't genuinely believe Lilith has affection for her daughters. Because the word supposed affection...
Mm-hmm. Like she doesn't believe
it. It's like she doesn't believe it, yeah. Isn't that odd?
Yeah, that's the same. But we don't know. Girl, it's like,
yeah.
She don't know where
all we know is Zayden thinks she's a monster. And we know Zayden can read intentions.
She was doing something. And I think we will find out. And
yeah, I think she's playing a game really well. I tend to believe that she does care about her daughters.
After a little fight between Melgrin and Ulysses, Ulysses is the one who said, okay, this meeting is over. And then Melgrin just said that they're going to be attacked in Samara by solstice.
Interesting fact, we are recording this episode on solstice.
Yes. He said that he has seen it and they win. So everyone is like, okay, now you have our attention. And they start to say like, okay, we just need your help because I see the battle and none of the marked ones are there. So really, I don't want you to think they are going to ask this just for free. So I would put like some walls with King Tauri So you can have your own movement on pace. You can have your land where you live in. You can get more people if you want to. So they like come to like living alone.
Zayden asks Violet to shield him out. I do as he suggests, only leaving space for Tern and the opaque, glimmering bond I feel with Andana, even at this distance. Right, so I'm on Signet Watch because there's another mention of Andana's power there. Then she starts spiraling. All that matters is we lose on solstice, is what Melgrin says. They lose. If the wards are breached, there's no way to estimate the death toll. Every Navarian civilian between the border and the wardstone's natural limitations will be in mortal danger. Tern says, Silver One. This is in response to her worrying, or because she knows he's telling the truth, that they're going to lose, or that they're going to attack. She can't know they're going to lose. Or her seeing the future, potentially, like everyone being in danger. There's so much stuff in that, like, worry, and it's so weird how he's like, Silver One. And that's like he's trying to calm her. Yeah, he's like, focus, and he's snapping her out of the... And there's a few times where he either snaps her out of the past or snaps her out of the future. Mm-hmm. And just because that is literally just before, we know that the glimmering bond she feels with Andana, she's not reaching for it, but she's letting it through. So mm-hmm. I think, is there something in that? And it's not conclusive, it's not obvious, but just feels weird.
Yeah.
And then Zayden trips over the guy. He gets really annoyed with the person that's standing next to Lilith. And he basically takes his sword. This guy takes his sword out, and Zayden pulls his legs out from underneath him with the. And he says, "Malik will meet you for your crimes." And Lilith puts the dagger back that she didn't even see her out. So she was like, basically, Violet was zoned out for a bit there. She didn't really realize what was going on,
mm-hmm.
Because she was thinking about what could happen.
Yeah, Ulysses, he rejects the offer. And said, no, that we're not going to fight for a kingdom that doesn't look for the people and then is asking for help. So they're going to just finish it. And then Brenna joins the meeting as well. And Lilith is just like, she can't believe it because obviously she actually was thinking that he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was just like shaking, or she was like a little bit of a mess, Violet is saying here.
But he says... let alone sacrifice their own children so they can hide safely behind their wards. Why does he think that she sacrificed him?
Yeah, it's been a couple of times that he kind of like is giving the reference that she sent their children to die.
Mm.
And I don't know if she's talking just because she's a general and then she just has to do what she has to do regardless who it is, because in the end she's doing that. Anyway, she like not taking favorites because they're family or whatever, at least like officially. But it's been like, this is the second time, because the first time is when he was having a discussion with Mira, and he was like saying that she didn't send you to die or something like that, or you didn't die because of her. And that's when Mira said, neither you.
Yeah.
So why he's saying that?
On face value, it's because he died because of a secret that she kept. Like, he obviously wasn't prepared or something. She sacrificed, but there must have been something about that day on the apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
The day that he died, the day that Fenn was brought in. Obviously, something happened on that day that made Brennan feel like he was being sacrificed for the good of Navarre. Something happened.
There's so many things that you think about this moment, because you see, like, there's this problem between Brennan and Lilith. But then by the end, you see there's Brennan, like, suffering because the mother is dead. So, I don't know. Exactly. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. You can probably dislike a family member, but still mourn when they die.
Yeah, maybe you think that you will face things in the end or something later.
Maybe like with his mom, she wasn't always what he perceived to be a terrible mom, even though we think she's doing something I think she's doing something to protect them. Mm-hmm. But you mourn the mother that you had when you were a child, not the mother that he had now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something in that. When all three of your children stand against you, perhaps the time has come for some self-reflection. And that's where, like, what is she still doing there? If she's not doing something important...
to protect the children.
She would be in the rebellion. She would have just mm-hmm. defected, wouldn't she?
Yeah. The right thing, though, really, as a general, she is doing more there as a mother. If she just abandoned Basgia to go to Eurasia with them. Brennan is the one who is saying that this meeting is officially over. And then it's Margaret who gives some minutes to Lily to say goodbye to the doubters. And then she is the one who goes to see Violet and Mira. Violet has some privacy to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this could be like maybe the last time they're going to see her mother if they had to fight in Samara. She is in shock that Brennan's alive. And then Violet, the one who say, yeah, he was the one who meant mm-hmm. me when... and everything happened in reason. And she was like, what? You knew all this month and you didn't tell me. You know, but like, yeah, it's like, feel shit when somebody's like having secrets and it's your own family, isn't it?
Mira asks what mum wants. She says, I'm not sure that's what matters at the moment because obviously she's a total mess. She's just found out that Brennan's still alive. But what she wants most, what she's always wanted, is for her children to live. Whatever wards you've raised from the instructions in Warwick's journal will fail. This is where we find out that, one, the Dark Wielders have runes.
Mm-hmm.
Suspect. I've got two suspects for that, but I'll get to it. Your father once told me that his research showed that Warwick never wanted anyone else to hold the power of the wards. He wanted Navarre to eternally hold the upper hand, but Lyra thought the knowledge should be shared. Warwick lied. I whispered, but about what? This is confirmation about two things. We know that Daddy Sorengil was researching the first six, or the wards, and all the wards.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he shared his research with Lilith. So yeah. It's not all a secret. He shared at least some bits of it with Lilith. So I think she, whatever she is doing now, she is acting on his research. She's following his orders.
Yeah.
She's either continuing the research or she has it and or knows where it is or knows what it is. And is doing what she was told from the research.
Yeah.
The stones, the Dark Wielders have runes. The number one suspect has got to be Colonel Atos. Atos.
Yes.
So the reason we know that is because there were summoning runes at Resen that were put there. And mm-hmm. it was set up by him. So he must know. Number two suspect, which is not really a thing, but I just keep, there's so many references to how good Kat is at doing runes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next one, we find out that she's the only one that's mastered a tracking rune, which allows you to track another person's rune. Very similar type of rune, isn't it? This summoning rune.
Yeah.
Or a tracking rune, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be Takaris?
Well, for me, the only thing that is clear about this is runes coming is from Tirandar. So the interesting part for me is, okay, if let's go to say Colonel Atos is the one who given runes to the Venom because he was the one who the one in Resen. How he knows about
I think leadership know about runes because Basgaiath is built on runes. It's just that they don't teach them to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's to do with it. I don't think you have to be to do with Tirandor to know runes.
For me, it's more about archives because I think all the information, all the guides, or all the stuff they need or they know about all these hundreds of years is in the archives. It's not like available for everyone, for leadership, or at least some people.
Yeah, but he was like Lilith Sorengil's right-hand man. I don't think it's such a stretch to believe.
No, for me, coming is from, you know, remember Cadet Samuelson when he was in the archives. For me, it's like they look maybe information from the archives, maybe about these runes or other kind of dark magic or stuff that's useful for them. So it would be interesting to see if MAB is actually
correct. Yeah, but he would have known. No, because he wouldn't have got that information from Samuelson because the timing's wrong. So he did the tracking runes were in the end of Fourth Wing.
I'm not saying that Samuelson is the one who given like the runes, but we see that maybe there's like some scribes that are acting suspicious.
Trying to get, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, that maybe they're getting the information from the archives because they had people as well, not only with riders, because we know they are riders. They were Venom following Colonel Eitos' orders. So why not maybe some scribe, they want the power as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Colonel Eitos is just promising, yeah, I'll teach you how to get this power if you do this for me.
Yeah.
Or just controlling the minds.
Yeah, maybe. Lilith says, you have the heart of a rider, but the mind of a scribe. No. Violet. Lilith says exactly the same thing as Andana.
Yeah, it's suspicious, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's something from the research. Also, the general's daughter, she says, Andana overhears the elders talking of the general's daughter who had to have the heart of a rider but the mind of a scribe. I think that was a direct order from the Empyrean to Aemsa to make sure Violet was a rider.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why Lilith did it, because of the Empyrean. They knew that she was Andana's.
Yeah.
Because Andana's obviously in the Empyrean. She's the head of a den, isn't she? You don't have to understand my choices. You simply have to survive. I love you enough to bear the weight of your disappointment. So, like, I just don't know what's going on. So, Lilith gives the journal of Lyra to Violet. Violet looks at it and she's like, oh, shit, can't translate this one. Jasenia's going to have to do it. But she also says, check the bodies of the wyvern. Your wards are going to fail. They'll just diminish and get weaker and weaker. So
fix your wards.
Fix your wards. On the way home, they go, Mira and Violet go and check a wyvern, cut it open, and a polished chunk of what appears to be onyx marked with a complex rune I couldn't even begin to replicate. So this is what kickstarted months and months ago my obsession with the fact that Naylan turned Venom and the rune on Brennan's hand was a reanimation rune, the same as what was in basically what was in. Yeah. So Brennan and Marb are basically just illusions of basically Wyvern controlled by Naylan. I don't believe that anymore, but I did. And I was like, a keyboard warrior, I would comment it on every single reel about Naylan on Instagram. So there's like an internet trail of me saying this because I was totally obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't believe it, but it is a cool theory.
Yeah. It's definitely something with a drone, but like we say in previous episode, that only makes sense if Naylan is Teresh and he knew about runes, because otherwise,
which is
how are we gonna do it?
Yeah, but it's not a stretch. At the moment, it's not a stretch because
we know nothing about Ireland.
Yeah,
so it could be, yes.
It's Onyx. So Onyx Storm. Do we think Onyx Storm is gonna be about Zayden's eyes? So Zayden, or is it gonna be about Wyvern? Is this gonna be like the book where it gets really bad? And because we already know there's 100 Wyvern at this point, then there's 500 Wyvern later.
No, it's gonna be 1,000 or more.
Yeah, loads of Wyvern.
That's why it's called Onyx Storm, because a lot of Wyverns coming.
Yeah.
Coming in waves. The Wyvern, they were checking, they start to blink, and then Violet just send out lightning, dies.
How all of a sudden does she get so good at hitting the target?
Like practicing with the conduit. No, she's just like,
she's just able to do it now.
Yeah.
I was a bit confused by that scene because she hit it and then they were blasted backwards and then they hit the wyvern.
Yeah.
Why was the wyvern behind them?
No, there were two, I think.
Oh.
So there were one on the front, they were
that makes sense. Yeah. I was like, well, but I didn't read it again. I could have been like, I need to read that again for it to make sense. I didn't. I was like, weird. Move on.
Yes. So The thing is the violin or the, yes, something wrong with the walls. They need to fix it. But now it's all in Yesenia because she can't even translate it. So, yeah, no pressure.
No pressure.
Chapter 58.
Chapter 58. Epigraph. The combined hatching grounds at Buzgaeth is our generation's greatest asset and our greatest liability. The Journal of Warwick of Luceris, translated by cadets Violet Soringale and Dane Atos. And in the audiobook, do you notice how Rebecca Soler clearly doesn't like Dane at this point? Because she's like, translated by cadets Violet Soringale and Dane Atos. It's really funny. I listened to it, like I kept skipping back because it's so funny. And Dane Atos. Can we get a sound clip of that?
Translated by cadets Violet Soringale and Dane Atos.
So why could the hatching grounds be the greatest liability? Is it because of the venom? Because they're obviously, they're protecting it. But if they didn't have it, they wouldn't have to protect
there's
it.
There's a target for the venom.
Yeah.
Just for having it there.
Or are the dragons themselves becoming a liability somehow?
That's what I was thinking. That maybe just because you had a veil full of dragons, maybe they're turning into this bridge of sorts or power when you actually you can get it directly from the ground. So if you're like a venom, maybe, a power hunger, venom, dragons, it's just a pain because then maybe they still have the power that you want to gradually from the ground. I don't know if maybe by this point Warwick was a venom or something. It's something weird about Warwick. I don't trust him. And
no, I don't think we're supposed to. It's been a week since they had a meeting with Mummy and Melgrin. Violet's on her way to the sparring gym because that's where Violet sent her a letter. It's very formal. To invite her to go and spar in the sparring gym. And she's like, you want to talk in here of all places? Why don't we go to our bedroom? And he says, unless there's a full Intrinsic around, no one can hear us.
Yeah.
Do we think there's a full Intrinsic around?
The question will be as well, if one of the first years turns out there's an Intrinsic, who will be allowed to leave in Erasia or they will follow the Codex and kill him?
I think Zayden would stop it from happening somehow. So, there's a theory, a really good one, that Auric is the Intrinsic.
Mm-hmm.
The main piece of evidence for this, well, there's two. There's when they are, so he would have, this was just after threshing, so he would have manifested his signet very early on.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of says to Zayden, do your shadows tell you that? Also, he seems to somehow know that Zayden killed his brother. Did he somehow read that in Zayden's mind? Because that was what he was thinking. He was like, oh, Oryx here killed his brother, read his mind. The other bit is that he panics at the end when Lilith Soringale says, have you manifested a signet? And he panics. I don't tend to think that that's so much evidence because it's a stressful situation. Everyone's panicking. Violet's burning out.
Violet's on the floor and like, oh my gosh, she's burning out.
Yeah.
Do you have a signet? No.
I don't know. I haven't manifested it yet.
Yeah.
But I do like it. And we think Auric could be the distance wielder, but he also could easily be. And what a great story if he is. If he does, I think he would have to confide in Violet.
Mm-hmm.
And then Violet would help him hide it. And they would come up with this, no, your signets, you got to touch people's faces and then you can do something, you know, like Dane, wink, wink.
For me, like the crucial clue about him being a potential intensive is how he found out there was Zayden, the one who killed his brother. Because I remember in the beginning, we were thinking like, oh, maybe it was his dragon talking the. We were like a gossip or something, sharing like information. But for me, but that's like weird that dragon just pointing to you started coming with this kind of information. But if he's an intensec, then that would make sense. But then that part when they're escaping from the archives, when in one chapter they're not going to make it, and then a chapter they're out.
Yeah, that
just
feels
born. Like, that's just weird as well. that would fit as a distance wielder as well.
Yeah, he's always been a distance wielder. He's been the one that was most naturally going to be the distance wielder for me because he needs to distance himself from his family. But there's more evidence on the page that he could be an intrinsic than there is for distance wielder.
I mean, for Satan is like the earth for looking for information because he needs to know who to trust or who to tell their stuff. I think Arik, he knew everything was going on, and that was like the reason that he joined the Rider, because he knew everything, but he wants to do something.
But he's in disguise, and he needs to know if somebody suspects that he is the king's son.
But that's like the current situation, it's not like his core, it's not something that
No, but if he's meant to be king one day, he might also know... I know that he's not first in line, but you know what I mean. Yeah, he's so obviously going to be the king one day, isn't he?
Yeah, don't know.
Well, if there is a king, be a king of Caldea, maybe they'll break up again into the individual provinces. Yeah, so she says she's not going to spar with him because she really wants to kick his ass.
Yeah, and then Zayda said, like, oh, you really think that you can hurt me?
But she's capable of hurting him in ways that she's not even... and begun to fathom. He might be skilled enough to land a death blow, but she alone has the power to fucking destroy him.
True.
When he is a Venin, that is also true. She's the only one, really. No, because anyone can throw an alloy-hilted dagger, but with actual power, she's the only one to have the power to destroy him. And that is like a neat thing, isn't it? Because he's saying it now, he's not Venin yet, but when he is Venin, that is also true.
It's going to be literally.
Yeah, there's a few moments in this scene where you think that. You think like, oh, when he's Venin, this is also true.
They start talking and then they start creating new rules as well. So rule number one, we're not going to fight in our bedroom.
Yeah. And she's like, it's not how it works. But actually it is. And it made me think, we could just make up any rules. Like, why do we not make up?
Why not?
We have rules.
Have we?
Yeah, I think so. Do we have rules?
Yeah. No eating after midnight, like the gremlins.
We don't really fight that much, though, do we? The rule is, if we fight, we both say sorry.
No, don't go to bed fighting.
Don't go to bed on an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I literally don't let you sleep. I'm like not sleeping until we've said sorry.
Yes.
And then you just get so tired, you're like, sorry.
Anyway, so she said that, okay, so other rule and no more secrets, full disclosure, and now you send the signet against her. And he says, done.
He says, I need to know you'll be here no matter what happens. You'll come back so we can talk it out or fight it out. Done, he says. And that's foreshadowed. That is why they're okay at the end of the book. Because there's promise there. I need to know you'll be there. No matter what happens, you'll come back so we can talk it out or fight it out. And obviously that missing scene between him waking up in her bed and toddling off to see his new bro, Jack Barlow, and him telling her that, or him saying, you've got to be afraid of me. There's a missing scene there where they're obviously talk it out or fight it out.
I know that Rebecca Jarros put a scene right there, and then the editor was like, what are you doing? Why are you putting this here? Like, taking all the strength from that scene. And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, they cut it. So, it's going to be the beginning of
The start of Onyx Storm. Yeah. I hope so. I hope we get that missing scene.
Yeah, I think it's going to be maybe like a Rika previously on Iron Flame.
Yeah.
Now, Onyx Storm.
Yeah, I need to know you won't run, that you know you'll never have to.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think that comes back to this conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That she doesn't have to run. She trusts him. Gravity. You're my gravity. Nothing in my world works without you. Gravity, he whispers, a slow, beautiful smile curving his mouth. The one force we can never escape. So we've talked about this before, and we've said that Rebecca Yarros seems to like the term gravity in her other books. She talks about gravity.
Like writing a style.
It represents love. However, we do have to call out here that the Book of Brennan, earlier on in Iron Flame, said everyone thinks most Rider cadets die from Dragonflyer. truth be told, it's usually gravity that gets us.
And Violet's calling Satan gravity. So yeah. Satan will be the one who will kill all the riders.
It's more like
foreshadowing,
falling in love. And I think it might represent something to do with Nalen. So perhaps it represents the fact that you do something stupid for love. Mm-hmm. And Nalen died or turned, whichever camp you're in, mm-hmm. for Brennan, because Brennan was Nalen's gravity. That's where I think I'm going with it. I don't think Zayden or Violet will die. This is a romance book. They either both die and they both live in a different world somewhere. Mm-hmm. But Rebecca Yarros does do happy endings. They're never the happy ending that you expect. It's always a twist.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to die. It could be
maybe sacrifice themselves or like a greatest thing, like saving the continent, killing all the Venom.
Yeah, but like, I do really trust Rebecca Yarros to end this book well, because all of her books have good endings. And I think you could say that we're in safe hands, even if they do both die.
So it's like, it's not the end that you wanted, but it's always a good end. After this, Satan is like open, and then he starts to say, what you want to know? You want to know about my father?
Yes.
You want to know about my grandfather in Sagan?
Yes, I want to know that.
The rebellion?
Yes.
And she said, no, let's start with something easier.
No, Violet, you ruined it. We want to know about his grandfather and Sir Gale.
Yeah, like how he died, how...
Did he die?
Yeah,
did he become Venom?
Did he actually die? But no, she said, where is your mother? No one talks about her. There are no paintings, no reference to her being in the Calvin executions.
Because she's doomed.
Nothing. It's like you were hatched and not born. That is a weird thing to say.
I know.
Like,
I love
being like a dragon.
Violet and Satan like being mates, and they're actually both dragons. And biggest success. That's why Brennan says that Violet's the biggest success. Because
so like a creation.
Creation, yeah.
And then Satan is half dragon here. Saying that he
half hatched.
Yeah.
Well, the mom laid the egg and then the egg hatched.
A big egg.
A dragon egg. A baby egg.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, how is possible that Satan's mom would be like one of the most important persons in the house when she was there? Why there's nothing reference about her? So obviously she's like a really mysterious character.
She's Dune.
Yeah. A goddess.
Yeah.
That's the only possible explanation.
Well, that's my thing.
Yeah.
Although it is weird there that hatched and not born. But then he says, she left when I was young. Their marriage contract said an heir had to survive to the age of 10. And then she was free to go, which is what she did. I haven't seen or heard from her since. So we talked last week about the blanket, didn't we? And mm-hmm. how if you were just going to up and leave for no reason at all, you wouldn't be knitting blankets for your baby. So unless she was just bored shitless and just like, it's nothing to do in this giant house, I'm going to knit a blanket and he might as well have it. She's obviously woven some kind of protective stuff. Like, I'm saying obviously, it's not obvious, but I'm hoping that there's some magic to that blanket. Mm-hmm. But you don't just up and leave if you care about your son. And I suspect something happened. Like something big happened. She had to go for a purpose. So there's one theory that she is Queen Mariah and she had to go.
I don't see it, but for me, like I say a lot of times, it's just because Satan will not paint in so the queen or have some reference and then he would
recognize her. I think so, yeah.
And then maybe he knows and then he hasn't said anything yet. That could happen as well. But he says
he hasn't seen or heard of her. And he also
exactly.
said he wasn't going to lie, like a couple of paragraphs ago.
True.
So the main thing there, the main clue is that it's weird that she's got no children. And it says it quite a few times, like, has she really? But they just don't know about them. I think you're right about that one. And then the main reason I think it's Dune is because there's a temple in Horatia. I'm thinking like Hercules vibes.
Yeah, but We don't know if there's temples or other gods as well, because yeah. like a god for different things.
There's also the placement of him at Corden when he was sat in the middle of the table, like Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was like the Last Supper. Da Vinci painting. But there's loads of things. We've talked about it. Like, if you've listened to the podcast before, you've definitely heard me talking about it. But yeah, the hatched thing really links him to dragons there, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then Vi feels shared for asking, which she can see that topic of asking. So then she asks about the second scene, like how it happens. He tells there was a month after the shadows appeared.
Mm-hmm.
We start to give us some details about how it happened, how he had to do, because he knew like that would be something dangerous for him, so keep the secret with Sagel.
Yeah, didn't it make you think about when Andana stopped time and he just like marched Violet to the flight field?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can imagine him doing that, like being really scared, and he just goes straight to the flight field through his secret tunnel.
Yeah.
He says it helps the rider on record was thought to be a great uncle and not my grandfather. We've been through this so many times and we really can't work out. But my best guess, and I think I said this last week, is that the grandfather registered as his brother, possibly in a Auric type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, although he's registered as somebody totally different, but they wouldn't want the dad to know that he'd gone, so he ran away.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So he had two presents for her, two new daggers to replace the one that she lost against Solas, but she needs to earn it, and she does.
What are the runes on the daggers?
Against poison, definitely. You'll see.
No!
To replace the one that she lost. Oh, well. So it's December 19th. And everyone is asking her if she knows anything else about Lyra's journal. She says against no, that she will tell them once she knows. They had to go to Butterbrief, where the Vera is with Brennan. The Vera starts saying that, yeah, there's no deaths because there have not been any attacks. So at the moment, everything is quiet. They'll be updating the map to see the current situation. And they can see that the Vernon had left Pavis and everyone else in the south of the Terrish border too, but not Solia.
Nope.
Solia is still occupied. And as you remember, in Solia is when they had the Clisbane Fly Academy. So I'm pretty sure they now are just Clisbane Venin Academy.
Academy, yeah.
So, yeah, they're still like training the new Venin.
That's where Atos is. That's where Daddy Atos is.
Yeah. That's a teacher.
There's several mentions about how they're starting to be in formation. The Wyverns are in formation. It's an organized attack. It's
yeah, there's a lot more military.
They've got runes now. Yeah, it's all Colonel Atos. And I keep coming back to the fact that Rebecca Yarros said, when she was asked who deserves the worst death, she said, Varys, Dane's dad. She said those two. She didn't say General Melkrain of the Venon. It might not be Darrenmore. It could, but yeah. Mm. She didn't say that. She said Dane's dad. So that means he has got to be ultimately like
the ultimate bad guy.
Really, really bad guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. But yeah. I think he's got something to do with Zolia. There's a mention in the scene as well, very close to this, where she says if she was Melgren, she'd have pulled every dagger from the coastal outposts. And as soon as I mentioned coastal outposts, I'm like, are there even any daggers there left? Because Dane's dad was there. Was he like dismantling the wards from the coastal outposts and then went to Azolia?
They keep going with the battle brief. And then one of the cadets asks why they're not helping Abad. And Brennan is giving like some arguments. And saying there's Melgrin, the one who's lying about it. Because Wyverns and Vernon can get close to the outposts without losing their lives or their powers. So they could be easily defeated by infantry. Violet have a look to the map and notice there are some outside on a bar. And then she asks how long they've been there. They say 3 days. And then when everything makes sense for Violet And then she just like that, she did butter breath, and all her gun is just gone with her because, oh, she had that look. We need to go with her. We need to go now.
Mm-hmm.
So she's looking for Satan through the bond. He said this in the assembly. But then he goes to see her. And they're like, what's going on? And then she's when she starts to explain the Mel Green only can see the attack and the outpost because he can't see the real battle. They're going to destroy the walls and basket. So Satan is like, okay, what you want to do? You want to go fight for them? Because if you want to, I go with you, regardless of what the assembly says. And she say, we have to.
Mm-hmm. The thought of risking my friends, losing them, has my stomach churning. I don't want to put Ten and Undana into danger. I'd rather die than gamble with Zayden's life. Foreshadowing. But is there really a choice? I don't mean foreshadowing for the future, like she's going to die. I mean foreshadowing for when she's in the Wardstone chamber later and she'd rather...
She wants to sacrifice herself.
She's going to burn out rather than Zayden gamble with Zayden's life. But in doing that, she's actually gambling because... Turn could die, skill could die, etc.
Everyone dies.
Yeah. But staying risks us becoming just like our enemy. We have to. Yeah?
And that's the end of chapter 58.
There was so much to talk about this week. And next week, we're on our way to Buzgaeth in chapters 59 to 61, where we do not eat our allies. Sneak peek of the next chapter's epigraph.
True. That was like what? Like she was just running out of ideas and like, this is funny. I'll put it there.
No, there's a...
I mean, that's something that Taryn says all the time. I'm talking about the epigraph.
I think there's a reason for it. I think I remember thinking, oh, that's why that's there.
I mean, Taryn said that all the time to Undana.
Yeah. I think it's related to the chapter, but we'll have to see.
No, but you know that normally you have like foreshadowing or something, but... Like, coming from the town, like, this is funny. I'm going to put it there. That's it.
I think it does have a link, but we'll have to see next week because I can't remember. So, if you've made it through this episode, then well done. We'd love to know what you think. So please give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts and come and leave a comment. Leave a comment on YouTube, leave a comment on Instagram, leave a comment on Spotify or wherever you're listening to us.
I remember as well that we have our website where you can see all the episodes from Faithfully Fantasy from the beginning until now. You can find more information about us. It's faithfullyfantasy.com.
Thanks for listening to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Iron Flames.
Join us next week as we deep dive into chapters 59 to 61.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. We say goodbye for now, but we'll see you next week with more Faithfully Fantasy.
Bye.